Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights at the round table, green knights where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive? Stop abusing her sometime.
the Turbo. All Rise 14, Suzanne the Turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. It's Ocho Ziv's here. My heart and mind is racing to all four points of the compass. I know for real how powerful words can be. And so I put my hand on my book of faith and I prayed for spiritual guidance to say the right words. I see things. Long before they ever come to pass, I see things. For some reason, I can't see my own destiny, my own future. I just know that this world and all the people in it are dying. All of us. From the day you're born, you begin to die. Some of us are dying just a hair bit faster than others. We put this Knights as a round table together to try to steer the boat in a different direction than what the world's going. So I'm hoping that my words come out right and I don't miscommunicate or make somebody think something that isn't or whatever. All of us, no matter how pure our hearts are, have prejudice, whether we believe it or not, because of the society and the world that we live in, the things that we've heard and experienced in our life. Our mind's full of all kinds of ideas and things. You know, we get stuck in a particular faith or belief or ideal, and we become kind of biased to that particular ideal. My ideas and my dreams may not be your ideas and may not be your dreams. My version of what needs to be done to save the world might not be the right version. My words may not be the ones that need to be heard by the entire world. If I had a magical heart and I could reach out and grab the attention of every single living soul on this planet to deliver a message, open up every ear and every heart, would I be able to say what needs to be said at the right time? I believe we're all here for a purpose. You know, in many faiths and many wise circles, they say, blessed be the peacemaker. I look out into this world and I see all that's going on. I want to bring the world together at the table. I want to set everybody down and I want to put all our differences aside and work things out. I want to shout it from that mountain, from every rooftop. I want to put a message of peace, hope, and love out to the world, because in this day and age we need it bad. We all need it. Each and every one of us, from all of our different backgrounds, all races and religions and political views aside, we're all humans. And we need that vision of hope, that lighthouse, that light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. I've done a whole lot of soul searching in the last many years that we've been doing the Knights of the Round Table. I've had to judge myself, and I've had to question myself. I've had to think and rethink my own thoughts, my own views, my own opinions. I had to ask myself, do I have prejudice? And to be honest, I have prejudice. I have prejudice. My heart doesn't have a prejudice. My heart's just that. It's full of love. I love my family, and I love my friends, and I love the people all over this world. We're dying. This world is dying. And on the path that we're on, it's not good. It's not good at all. Unless we can somehow put our prejudice aside, unless we can grab the hearts and ears of all the many out there, all the we the people, unless we can get people to this table under the agreement that we come here because we know this is something that has to be done, not just for us, but for our future of all humanity. Somewhere in this world, somebody's doing well. Somewhere in this world, somebody's dying. I've watched the entire history of man, the entire future of man unfold before my very eyes in many dreams, visions, or whatever you want to call them. I've seen the end of the road. And my heart just breaks. It tears up inside. Because I know all this time we had an opportunity, all of us, each and every one of us had an opportunity to steer this bus in a different direction. And as well as intention as everyone has, sometimes there's a little prejudice getting our way, and sometimes they divide us up and steer us away. I'm a Christian, and when I hear things that are outside my comfort zone as far as my faith and my belief, I have prejudice as I walk away. I don't know my views right. I shouldn't walk away. I should listen. My heart says stay and listen. But my mind, from all the things that I've been taught, says this is against everything you believe in. Political views the same. At the end of the day, I'm just a man. A man with a big dream, a big idea, a big heart. I want to bring this world together, but the task is so overwhelming. We've heard children in the world saying the same thing. We've heard people crying out for years that we all got to come together. We all got to do whatever it takes to stop the wars and the bullets and the fighting and the fussing, to go out and address the needs of all the other people in this world. Wonderful souls with wonderful hearts somewhere in this world suffering. Somebody losing their mama, somebody losing their daddy or their child. The sick individuals out here that don't have any kind of caring for others. In some way I feel sorry for them, but on the prejudice side, I'm kind of like every other human out there. Kill them all. Just go out and kill all the terrorists and kill them all. That's the mind talking. That's not the heart. The mind tells you things that aren't necessarily right. The heart, I believe if you listen to the heart, it speaks the truth. And I believe that is something that spans all religions and all of humanity. I think what we started here is something that should continue on. Do I think I'm a good example for leadership? No. I'm just an average Joe pecking away at a keyboard and trying to shout words of wisdom. At least wisdom from my point of view to the world. I wish that everybody could sit down. You know, the Indians would sit around the campfire. The knights would sit around the table. But either way, they come together and they honored each other and they allowed each other to speak. I'm nobody to say that you can't say what your beliefs are. And I'm not into censorship. I'm not into trying to suppress anybody's ideas or dreams. Personal prejudice is from my own faith. And I won't fall under the label of religion or religious views. I'm not into any organized religion, even though I say I'm a Christian. My Christianity comes from the fact that I believe in a man that said a lot of good things. That in my mind and my heart was a good teacher. He talked about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. I believed in the Ten Commandments because they're the basic golden rules of life and they should apply through all nations and all religions and political views, backgrounds, races, whatever. If common sense was to rule this world and people could look ahead and see the things that I saw, they would sit down at the table together. They would break bread with each other and they would make sure that all needs were met by all individuals, that all fairness was the scales of justice were balanced. I want to make right by the world somehow. I want to find all the solutions and all the answers. I want to come in and save the world, but once again, I'm just a man. But I am a man who recognizes the power in the people. I am a man who recognizes the power of the spirit, the power of the heart, the power of the spoken word. I'm asking all my brothers and sisters around the world to send the ripples out. Send the ripples of love and positivity out. And send them out until you just can't send them out anymore. I don't want to see in this realm, in this real life, what I've seen in my dreams. I don't ever want to see that come to pass. I ask myself, why would my God give me dreams like that? I heard my pastor say that God always chooses the least qualified to do his work. And by definition, I am the least qualified. I've been down a rough road and I ain't no saint. I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. And I'm more than likely to make a lot of mistakes in the future. But what I do know is the words that are on my heart, they're not a mistake. The words on my heart ring like a bell out to all the ears of humanity, to all the hearts of every individual. I know there's a lot of love out there in this world. And I know that that love, in order to survive, is going to have to come together across all boundaries and all nations, all races, religions, backgrounds, and political views. We're going to have to come together. And even if it all goes down in a blaze of glory, at least the last thing that we can say about humanity and our will to go is that at the last minute, we all stood together hand in hand. I want to thank all the Knights of the Round Table, and I want to thank all the people from all the networks. I want you all to go away today with a higher purpose. I want you to go away with a message, the right message, to tell the world how important it is that we all come to the table to be that Paul Revere. Go out there and shout it to the world, shout it from a mountain. When you deliver a message to this world, you make sure it's a positive message. You make sure that you leave all the negativity and prejudices behind. Make sure that when you use the power of the spoken word, you think before you speak. Do it. Do it as if your life depends on it. Because, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, your life does depend on it. My life and our children's lives. There is no higher cause than what you've been called to do than to try to bring peace to this world. We can steer this destiny. We have that power. We have the free will. But we can't do it as long as we're divided. We can't do it as long as our hearts have hate and disagreements. Our minds have prejudice against each other. None of us know which one of us is right about our spiritual beliefs. And if anybody tells you they do, then they're lying. None of us know. We'll all find out one day where all this information and all this love initiates from. But in the meantime, this boat that we're riding around in, it's going down. It's going down like the Titanic, all hands on board. Nobody gets off the boat alive. The black man, he's going down with the white man, and the red man, and the yellow man, the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Christian, the atheist, the agnostic. We're all going down together. We just got to decide. We got to take sides now, whether or not we want to be on the dark side or we want to be on the right side. We got to make the huge decision whether or not we're going to spend the rest of our lives trying to build a stairway to heaven or parachute straight into hell. I don't know what else to say outside of you are more important than you could possibly imagine. No matter what you look like, no matter what you believe in, one truth stands above all of it. If humanity follows the path that we're on right now, we have the most horrifying future that you can imagine. if we use our free will and we use our love, wisdom, and we lean on each other, we can steer the boat to a better destiny. That's been my hope and my dream all along. That's what Shaziz Radio and Shaziz Radio Network and Mad Science has been about all along. You know, there's a movie out there. They say that if you build it, they'll come. Well, we built it. Now we're waiting. We're waiting for the people to show up. And believe me when I say that one day you're going to look outside your door and you're going to have brothers and sisters from all different places coming to try to find safety and shelter in your home. You're going to have people huddling in caves, on hills. You're going to have so many people to take care of one day. And I just hope with all my heart that you're prepared. Prepared with wisdom and love. I hope with all my heart that you make the right choice. And you do like Patty said, and you stand true to your beliefs. Patty's a wonderful lady. So are all these other hosts out here. Wonderful individuals. Well, I've just got so much to say, but I don't want to monopolize this table, because this table belongs to all of us. This table belongs to the knights. It belongs to the people. And I'm asking each and every one of you out there, please come to the table. Please bring your friends to the table. Please let us sit down and work out all our differences. Please let us use our higher powers and our words and our wisdom to bring this world together. That's all I can do. That's all I have. So with that said, I want to hand this over to the knights and take a breath, if that's all right.
Good morning, she says.
Good morning.
Yeah, I spent the last three shows kind of talking pretty much about the same thing. My own deal is no more war. No more war. That's what I've been saying on any level, any time, no matter how big or how small. You know, it's just, look, family war, war between two people, war between your states, war between the nations, your towns. No more war. Don't need that. We don't need a bunch of religious war. Somebody wants to worship another way, maybe they got it right, maybe they don't. I kind of believe that, you know, what I believe and what I've seen, and by the record of what I see in the book, that it's been 100% correct in predicting everything, so to me, that's my best bet. I'm not going to jump down or, I mean, I preach about no more war. I'm not going to sit there and bring down somebody else to make myself look good. I don't think it works that way. I think if people watch you and they learn from you, learn by watching you, they get the message. I'm by no means perfect. I mean, I shoot some guy out there, fix his nose. Hell, you know, there might be a whole glee club of nose pickers. Everybody doing, picking their boogers and thinking it's candy, but it's not. Well, if it bothers you, then you have a problem with it. The person that's picking his nose does not have a problem with it. So he does not have a problem. Because his point of view, what is reality? Reality is what we believe. Everybody has a different reality. I have my own different reality. But when I see people warring against each other, it hurts inside. Not that it hurts me, but to see them hurt. And then there's, is it okay to pick a fight? No, it's not all right to pick a fight. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. So no, you shouldn't. If you mess that up, then you take it out of God's hands and you put it in yours. So I look at it this way. No, we don't have a right to pick a fight. And for that, those who have least right to pick the fight or to pick sides of a fight is somebody who's picking a side. I choose to pick my side. I don't pick this person's side or that person's side. I pick my side. My side is I look at people hurting and I want to help. I wish it would just end because what I see hurts. I love people. I love friends. I wished all friends could get along. I wished all nations could get along. And I don't like the idea of nations pitting its young against another nation's young. They don't even know each other. They don't have an argument. What they have an argument with is the people in charge. So what side are you going to pick? No more war. But I do believe in defending oneself. Defend yourself above all things. I mean, it's in our genes to protect ourselves and to protect our family. Go up into a mountain and find you a ram. I tell you what, if that ram says don't come this way, that means his family's that way. You can play with him and enjoy him and do all sorts of crazy things. You start walking back that towards his family, he gonna knock you on your butt. He's not prejudiced. He's not picking sides. He's defending himself. Let those that have the war between whichever defend themselves. And if you never pick a fight, then you probably ain't going to have anybody to war against unless there's just somebody out there looking for trouble. Being prepared, knowing how to handle that, that's one thing. But to go into somebody else's world and run your mouth about what you see on one side and what you see on another side. If you got something negative to say, I think it's time to hush the mouth. If you got something positive to say, then you're helping. You're doing something good. And that's what I see. I look at people, doggone, man, they'd be fighting over toothpicks and toilet paper. Those are usually the people in divorce. When what they really mean to say is, I miss you so much, and I hurt that you're leaving, and I just don't know what to do, and I'm panicking, and I'm freaking out, and, you know. But no, they're just going to argue over toothpicks and toilet paper. Why? Because they got a war inside. A war inside that says, I can't be wrong. Learn to forgive, forget, drop things. Oh, my goodness. You find out the one that's silent, or the ones that are silent, are usually the winners. The ones that don't sit there and open their mouth and make a fool out of themselves and remove all doubt of how little they actually know about the true deal. Picking sides on somebody else's deal, you just don't know all of it. If it's something happened to do with you, like, yeah, government's tearing this down, hurting our health, they're making us weak and all this kind of stuff, yeah, pick a side, your side, that's called defense. Somebody sees two sides of a fight and they want to pick a side, oh, they're not on my side anymore. Many are welcome to my side, but I won't pick a side. I'll pick my friends, and there may be many.
Hey, Muddy.
There may be only one that I don't know in the whole group that are having a hard problem. I pick my friends, the ones I like, the ones that never hurt me yet.
Hey, Muddy.
And when I change my mind, well, I guess everybody else would have to be on my side. Go ahead, bro.
Do you have any idea how to resolve an issue when you know something's coming down the line and you're trying to bring everyone to the table? And you're so worried about offending people, you're so worried about not getting the word out that you want to bring everybody to the table. Do you have any kind of idea or solution how to get everyone to the table without... I don't know if you understand what it is I'm asking you.
I think you're trying to get them all here so you can put your views across to what's going on and what you see so you can warn them.
But how to bring everyone to the table without stepping on everyone else's toes in the process, you know? I talk about my Christianity, my beliefs, you know, and they don't necessarily match up to other people's beliefs. And then I think, you know, does this mean because this is being said on our network that I'm promoting this or that or whatever, does it represent me? And those are mind thoughts of my prejudices in my mind that are telling me, hey, you know, that's not what you're supposed to represent or whatever. And in my heart, I'm saying that everyone out there needs to be able to speak. Everyone needs to have their voice heard. Otherwise, we can't keep everybody at the table. But at the same sense, it's like herding chickens. You're trying to get people to stay. You're trying to get people to listen. You're trying to get people to open up dialogue together. But the first time that they hear something that they disagree with, and I'm guilty of it myself, if it's outside of my religious views, I'll turn the channel or I'll walk away. You know, I don't want to hear something that's counterproductive to what it is. It's my little bubble's been created around me by myself or those who taught me before. But I know, brother, I know the urgency of what we've got to do. We've got to get these hearts together. We've got to get these people around the table. It has to be done. There's no if, and, or buts. It has to be done, and it has to be done quickly. I don't have the solution how to fix it.
Yeah, I've been typing around to Stone Lee, Nick Nomic, and many others that normally haven't been here. I know a couple that one that would probably not care to hear that Knights of the Round Table is in, but, you know, I'm sure... leave it alone, give it to God, and it'll come through. Yeah, it looks like a mighty small deal. There's four of us this morning, but I'm sure we got enough view. But, yeah, getting everybody here? I almost didn't make it this morning. After my show, I was planning on leaving on out of here, but cause I had some things to do. But I'm trying to get them in, bro.
Brother, we...
I don't know, other than inviting them personally beforehand and letting them know what you're going to say and bringing them in there.
It doesn't have to be this table, though. We just need to send the ripples out to get people to any table around and to begin the dialogue and talking and putting their differences aside and recognizing what's actually going on in this world. There's so much happening that it's becoming overwhelming. And here in the near future, some things are going to be happening that's going to turn this world upside down. And I don't think...
No, I know that you've seen that, too.
I know
seen off in the future. I listened to you talk before, and it just makes so much sense.
I know that the majority of the people...
Friend comes to your door looking for food. You don't know whether to let them in or not.
Yep. I know that the majority of the people aren't prepared spiritually, mentally, or physically, or whatever. I know that the majority, you know, in my book of faith, there's a story about a man that it was. I know you've heard it, Muddy. I don't know if everybody else out there has heard it. The story about Sodom and Gomorrah, where the man asked God that, you know, if I can go in this town and I can find this many good people, would just spare the town. And
he asked three different times, and the number got smaller, and he said, yes, I would. And he tried everything, and then the angels came at night, and the people of the town wanted to do all sorts of sexual, mean, nasty, crazy things to the angels, so he brought the angels inside. Then when the people tried busting into his house, and they opened the door, the angels put him to sleep.
Well,
yeah, tragic story.
Well, brother,
so he took Lot's family out. But I'll tell you one thing: we're on Shaziz Radio, Awake Radio, No Borders Radio, Radio TCT, These Changing Times, and Radio 1800. Like you said, many others that pick it up, and I'd like to thank them so much because, in that effect, like you said, we're reaching millions of people, and it is around the world. That's what counts, bro. It's not who's here, it's what you say and what you feel, and I'm sure you're touching a lot of hearts right now.
Well, for every person out there, listening to my voice right now and Muddy and all the knights, you send those ripples out. I'm begging you from everything that I am. I know most of you don't really know me personally. You don't owe me nothing. But I'm begging you. I've seen it. I've literally stood there in the midst of the future. I've seen it. And I've felt it.
You've stood in the middle of a field with no trees, no grass, no nothing, no nobody. You've seen for miles and miles no one else and known the lonely feeling.
I'm begging each and every one of you out there listening to my voice. If you go out and smile on a brother or sister, you do anything, anything positive. You do as much positive as you can. You throw the ripples out there as fast and as furious, and you send those ripples across the globe. Because believe me, every word spoken makes a difference. And you do it quickly. If you've got the capability to send a tsunami wave across this entire planet, and you get those hearts to thinking and bringing them to the table, any table. It don't have to be a round table. It could be a square table or whatever. You just get them to the table and you tell them, there is urgency to humanity. If we're to ever continue on into the future, if our children's ever to have a light of hope at the end of that tunnel, it's this generation right now that's going to have to steer this boat in the other direction. We need every single host, and we need every single hand on the wheel, and we need to pull with everything we got. We need to speak our best words as loud and as respectful as we can, because we ain't got much time.
I got a friend up in Canada that tells me, hurry up and get your passport ready, bro. You need to get here. Our guy owns his own energy company up there and all that other stuff. He'd love to have me up there. He's watching what's happening down here. He calls me almost every other day, texts me almost all day, and he keeps me pretty up to date with what's going on. And you're right, there isn't much time left. How do you get rid of your enemies?
Well,
you pit them against each other and then take out the rest of them, and that's what's planned for us,
brother.
My best way to control people is take their money.
My book of faith tells me that I'm going to be all right. Personally, I'm going to be all right. I'm not supposed to fear. I'm just supposed to leave it in the hands of the Lord. My heart as a human, it talks to me all day long. And I don't want to see anybody left behind. I don't want to see anybody do without. I don't want to see anybody suffer. I don't care if they're atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, or whatever. I don't want to see anybody have to go through what I saw. But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming with vengeance, and there's not going to be one person that's not going to have be affected by it.
Oh no, that's for sure. Real estate will get real cheap.
You know what, brother? Real estate ain't going to matter. Ain't no gold, no silver, no nothing. None of that's even going to matter. You can have the best ivory tower in the world. You can't take it with you. When you go to heaven, your pockets are just as empty as they were the day you were born. You know, when you go to hell, same thing. Your pockets are just as empty as the day you were born. You don't come in this world and go out of this world with anything but your spirit and your knowledge and the things that you've done in your lifetime. And I'm sure that through all different religious beliefs or whatever, that there's not one soul out there that could argue with that. You don't get out alive, and you don't get out with money in your pocket. You get out with your deeds and your soul, if you're lucky. So who else we got in here, brother?
I just got Larry, caught the contact of Larry Woods. He'll be coming in just a second. I added him to the call. It don't seem to be popping up. Get him to hit the join button, maybe.
Thomas, you got any words of wisdom?
I think you went off there for a second. How about you, Mitko?
I'm hearing crickets.
And Thomas didn't even play the doggone sound effect. Well, there's Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Have you been listening to the show?
No, I've been busy this morning. We did a demonstration yesterday.
I hope that went well.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Did you get the 3-volt to 12-volt converter set up and working, or still on the ball on it?
Still waiting on that one.
Alrighty, bro. Anyway, we've been talking about things that Shaziz has seen, because he sees things before they happen. He has dreams that play with him, and I know he has visited the future a few times, and I don't think that just in dream. I know he's visited the future. For that, I have no doubt. Strange things like standing in the middle of a whole bunch of land, no trees, no nothing but dirt and no people. He's seen his friends come to the door and feared on whether to let him in or not, whether they're going to come steal his food or mistake his place, or whether to let him in because he's starving and he is on your side. It's kind of hard to tell when you're in a troubled time and one mistake can mean your life. It's kind of hard. And kids turning in their parents and stuff. It's going to be some strange, hard times.
How do we bring the world to the table? How do we get all hands on that wheel to start steering this ship in a different direction? Is it even possible? I know in my book it tells the story from beginning to end, but I don't think we were set here to fail. I think that we were set here with an opportunity to do the right thing, I honestly believe that together we could literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. I believe that we were given that power and that capability with the power of the spoken word and love to be caretakers of everything, each other. I believe we have that capability. I believe that we have the opportunity to define this world the way we want it to be. But until we get people to the table, all differences aside, until we can shut our minds down from the prejudices that we have against one another or views of one another, we're heading down that path. And I'm scared, brother.
I got a comment from Nick Nomic. I know you know him, and during last year split with a certain deal, he was all worried about, you know, where you going to go and how everything, and he hated to see what was happening. But he's got a comment, and he just wants to say hi, and he's sorry he can't jump in right now and be away with the good old with the good lady for a while. But his comment is, Shaziz, I hear you upset at the moment. You can easily talk to any folks anywhere because you have a good spirit. I know what you're feeling. Shaziz, I don't see future being good for most folks in this world, but you are doing best with what you can and where you can reach out. That will be worth more than gold if rough times come.
Nick, I appreciate your words, brother. I'm just trying to throw my positive pebbles out there. I'm trying to throw my ripples out there to make everyone's day a little bit better in hopes that they'll do that for somebody else. I put this platform together that we call the Knights of the Round Table because I had a dream. And I knew how important it was that we all come to the table. But even myself, I have built-in prejudices from the way that I was raised and the people that I were around and the things that I heard. Once you hear things, they can't be unheard. And whether your heart is pure or not, your mind has been corrupted by, you know, people giving bad information or whatever. You know, I can't say beyond all certainty that my faith is the right faith. Maybe all faiths are the right faith. Maybe we're all right, or maybe we're all wrong. But one thing I can say, that I know for a fact, the path that humanity's on right now is not a path that you want for you or your children or your children's children. And humanity will not survive this last test. Will not. Where we go from here, according to our own spiritual journeys, is anybody's guess. But as long as we're on this earth, all we have is each other. It seems like our call dropped there. Hopefully we'll get everybody back. Brothers and sisters around the world, I'm Cherokee Indian. I got French Canadian. And who knows what else in me. I'm kind of like a combination of everybody. And that, the call's dropping, the noise is driving me insane. I'm reaching out to each and every one of you, and I'm asking you to throw as many positive pebbles as you can. To do whatever it takes. I'm gonna go to a quick song break and see if we can get this call back. Stay tuned, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody.
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive. Stop abusing her.
say you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out, you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
And grace.
together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I don't want to be a fearmonger. I don't know whether I'm a madman, whether or not these are just dreams or visions of things to come to pass. All I can tell you is that these dreams that I have them all the time, and they get more intense, and they really speak to my heart the urgency of all humanity. I've literally stood amongst the rubble and the fire and the smoke and the blood and the death, holding a baby in my hand, a crying baby. I don't think there's a man alive or a woman alive who could literally sit there in that situation and not feel something in their heart. We know that there's wars going on right now. We know that there's propaganda out there about terrorism, and everybody's supposed to live in fear and worry and all this. That's not what I want. I want for people to use the power that is deep within them, that every single living soul on this planet has the capability of. I want them to use that power of love to put the positive ripples out there to avert, if this is just a dream, if it's just coming from the mind of a madman, then what harm could it do by sending these positive ripples out there, if you seriously believe that you want this world to be a better place for your children and theirs? If we're to come together at the table and put all our differences aside and open the dialogue and begin the healing process of generations of hurt that has come from all different races, religions, and backgrounds, political views, and so on and so forth, then the first step to healing is forgiveness, like Monday's always saying, forgiveness. I had to take some advice from Monday, and I had to show forgiveness. I had to clear off some anger and frustration in my heart for current events, and I showed forgiveness. But does that make me any better than I was the day before? For that particular move, I would say so. But for the thoughts in my mind, or actions, or choices, or whatever, I'm no better. I'm no worse than any other individual out there. I'm just me. I'm a man with a vision and a dream. I'm a man who knows that together we can accomplish so much. So much. And divided, we can't accomplish nothing. We keep going around in circles. We keep arguing over whether my Jesus is real, or your Buddha is real, or your Muhammad, or whatever. We argue about whether you're Democrat, or my Republican, or Libertarian. We argue about everything under the sun. Sit down in a peaceful debate, or spoken in a respectful manner, you know, coming from my point of view as a Christian. My Christianity stems from a story in a book. And whether it's just a story or whether it's actual Word of God, that's to be found out down the line. But when I read the story, and when I heard the words of the man that gave his life on the cross for me, I took away from that story a moral. You know, there's a lot of stories out there that at the end have a moral to the story. And to me, the story talked about the ultimate sacrifice to give one's life for people you don't even know, or others in the world, to give everything you got. And to walk around and to preach peace and love, and to not discriminate between the prostitute and the rich man, or the church-going person, or whatever. To look at everyone equally, and the scales of justice be fair for all. To do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This is what I took away from the story. This is why I call myself a Christian. Jesus wasn't a Christian in my belief. Jesus was the Christ. And Jesus didn't have a religion. But in me being able to essentially label myself as to where my beliefs are, it's the only words that I have to say that I'm a Christian, because I believed in what Christ said and what he done. And I'm not to try to push my beliefs or judge anyone. I'm, you know, in Leviticus, in my book, it says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." All I'm trying to say and to put out there to the world is that, you know, coming from my own spiritual journey that I'm on, I'm seeing the world as it could be, and I'm seeing the world as it is, and I've seen the end of the road for the path that we're on. And I'm trying to reach out, and I'm trying to lead by example in the best way that I know how. And I don't always pick the right words to say. I don't always convey my message. And sometimes it's misunderstood because of the words that I picked. And that's proof that words are so powerful. And the wrong words, the wrong words spoken can harm, just like the right words spoken can help. So with that said, no matter whether you think that we're heading down the road to the apocalypse, or whether you think that everything's going to go along just fine, if you want this world to be a better place, you have to use the power that is within each and every one of you. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. What does matter is what you do tomorrow and today. You can change your destiny down to a different path. You can walk the path that you believe your spiritual journey belongs on. And you can throw positivity out into the world if that's what you wish to get back in return. Or you can throw negativity into the world, and you can continue to pile on to the chaos that is what we live in today, the beast that is eating us all alive. This is where my views come from. This is me. I want to hear from you. I want to share our experiences in our lives, and I want to join with you at the table and find the solutions to making this world a better place. That's what Shaziz is all about. That's what this network was for. Anybody has any kind of solution to fixing what it is that we've got to contend with, I'm all ears. The best way to learn is to open your ears and listen. To close your mouth and let somebody speak, because everyone out there has wisdom. Everyone has knowledge. Some folks just choose to make bad decisions. So with that said, Thomas, you got anything on your mind about what I'm talking about?
I've said my piece many a time about what my plans are on how to put some solutions to the table. So, I mean, I'm doing everything I can. It's pretty much why I said what I said earlier when we were off the air about having an older machine, and being stuck on that is because I've been investing almost everything that I get constantly into those solutions that I'm trying to put forward, because they're more important than, having a faster machine or something that can, play the latest game or whatever. Just, I've unfortunately let it go to a point where now that machine has almost run its course. It's time, and I'm almost going to have to buckle down and get another machine and put my plans to the side long enough to take care of that.
Well, brother, I got a lot of parts around here, and I'd be willing to post something to you if it'll help. I got computer parts, I got hard drives, I got software, I got all kinds of stuff. Now, keep in mind, it may be older software or older parts or whatever, but maybe we can work something out to get something to you and build you a better system or something.
Right. Well, like I said before, that I'm looking around and doing what I can to basically minimize the impact it's going to have on everything that I'm working on. So
yeah,
if I find something that I need help with, I'll let everybody know. So that's one thing that I've noticed too, is that it seems that there's an awful lot of that. Somebody else will take care of it. I could maybe do a little something, but I'm sure somebody else will take care of it. So I'm not going to worry about it and just let things go. And then come back later and go, oh, nobody took care of that? I wonder why, It's that whole thing of, somebody, you walk down the road and find a problem, you go, somebody ought to do something about that, and they don't turn around and look in the mirror for a minute and realize, wait a minute, I am somebody, So.
Well, brother, I am somebody, and I believe in what you're doing. I believe in what we're all doing enough that I'm willing to step outside the box and do what I can to try to help you out, because I know your heart.
I appreciate that. I wish we had more of that going around in the world, period,
Well, and that's what the positive ripples are. There's a lot of there's a book out there called The Power of Positive Thinking. It only makes sense. If you throw positivity into the world, you get positivity back. If you throw negativity in the world, you get negativity back.
So that kind of goes against the whole do something to change the world, though. I mean, positive thinking, if you're going to, read a book about positive thinking, then you should finish picking up the book, too, that says about positive doing, too.
Yeah.
Because thinking is supposed to be powerful because it causes action. It's not powerful if there's no action that ever goes behind it.
I agree. So,
I mean, somebody can say, oh, I hate that there are all these starving children all over the world, but yet, when they see somebody sitting in the street that's, down on their luck and starving and has two kids sitting next to them, or, a starving dog with them or whatever, that full well is, probably the one thing that's kept them from just, going all over the edge. That dog's companionship has been, been the only constant that they've had in their life, and yet these people will just walk by. They won't stop with that extra dollar they've got in their pocket and pick up a can of dog food or a can of beans and drop it off with them,
I agree.
Boy, they look at it and go, what can I do? I'll pray for you, People. Yeah, well, you know, when you get to heaven, if there is such a place, I have a feeling that your prayers that you didn't actually do anything about when you had the physical capability to do something yourself about are going to end up landing you, you know, booted out of the, that you're going to have a big, you know, do not enter sign on that gate.
I agree.
I mean, it's that thing of there's an old joke that I think kind of points out, you know, it says the guy's basically in a shipwreck and he's floating along on a little piece of debris from the ship, and he's like praying, you know, God save me, and another boat comes by and says, you know, come on, we'll give you a lift back to land. I'm trusting God, he'll save me. And later along the line, you know, a helicopter flies by and they drop a ladder to him. They're like, come on, we'll save you. They're like, oh, God will save me, don't worry, you know. And later on there was something else, like maybe a plane or something, you know, who knows. I don't remember the exact wording for the joke, but the point is there were three rescue attempts that humans came along and tried to save them, and eventually, because this guy kept saying, no, God will save me, and turned those offers for help down, he drowns. And when he gets to the gates, he's like, God, why didn't you save me? I prayed and prayed and prayed. And he's like, I sent a helicopter or another boat and a plane. What more did you want? You know?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Man. Action, you know? Stop with the prayers after you're done saying it and, you know, just trust that that was good enough and move forward, you know? What more can you do?
I mean,
you can only say something so many times and so many ways before you got to get off your butt and start doing something, you know?
Well,
you should only have to pray once.
In my little circle.
I'm sure he didn't forget. And the deal is, at that point, you might have to save yourself, but it'll make it possible if your faith is right. You know, I mean, come on.
Well, that's just it, though. I don't think that there is any saving people. If there's a God, I don't think he does anything to save people. I think all he does is he just makes sure that everything was in place so they could save themselves, like you said. He makes sure that there's a path that you can basically navigate on your own. You don't get put into a path where there's no way out, you know.
Right.
So
he makes it way to where there seems to be no way out.
Right, and stop, you know, thinking things are just too tough for you.
It ain't gonna happen for you.
Really,
it ain't gonna happen.
Well, I was gonna say, if you really believe in this higher power and that he's gonna save you, then everything that you look at that's, you know, is too tough, it's not too tough, it's you're too lazy. You know? You don't want to do it. You're too lazy and you just don't want to do it. And that's the inner demon you have to conquer in order to basically be able to do all the things that you're wanting to do or you have to do or that you believe you're supposed to do that, you know, you're praying for that help for, you know?
Well,
I still think the most powerful prayer is to pray, don't pray for, you know, salvation. Don't pray for help. Don't pray for solutions. Pray for wisdom, because it brings everything else to the table.
Pray for
the wisdom,
the strength
will
get off
you in the
couch.
Say, for being lazy, get up this morning and go do that thing. And when you get in the middle of doing it, then, you know, the wisdom will prove that it's right, because once you get going, it started, it gets easier and easier and easier.
Yep.
And you more like the ability to use your knowledge.
Pray for the strength to get off the couch and go out and be proactive in the world, and pray for the wisdom to keep that ball rolling, because you know that the importance is there.
Get your potato off the couch and put it in the pot.
So
Snafu says, angels or demons, laugh out loud. Hey, you know, some people believe in angels and some people believe in demons. Some people believe that there's not a God. Some people believe that there is a God. Regardless of all that, putting all that differences aside, reality is this. On some side of this planet right now, somebody's starving. On some side of this planet right now, somebody's dying. There's things going on in this world that humans, man, have control over. Man has control over the trigger on every gun. Man has control over the button for the bombs. Man has control over the food. Man has control over the water. And so, if that is to be used properly, do you aim that gun at another human being and pull the trigger? Or do you take that glass of water over and give it to the thirsty? Or do you take the food over and give it to the hungry? That is a choice. That's you getting off the couch. That's you deciding whether or not you are religious or not religious. Whether you believe in a God or not a God. It is you making a conscious decision whether or not to assist somebody else out there in this world. To put somebody above yourself. If you think that you're above anyone. If you think that you're wiser than anyone in this world. You're fooling yourself. Because every single individual out here is on the same playing level. Every single individual, spiritually or physically or whatever, is on the same level. And when this boat sinks, it's not the wise man who's going to rise above and float through the clouds and be able to keep themselves. Oh, look at all them stupid people. They done died because they didn't listen to my wisdom. You're going down with the ship too. You, the non-believer, you, the believer, you of all faiths, you of all races and backgrounds are going down with the ship. When the ship goes down, all hands will be aboard. We're on this beautiful rock flying through space. We have all the resources necessary to take care of every living soul on this planet. We are the caretakers of one another and all that we survey. So you can laugh and you can scoff at other people's beliefs and whether there is demons or not demons or vampires or werewolves or the boogeyman or terrorist or whatever. You know, in each and every individual, their reality is their truth. Their beliefs, their religion, their lack of is their truth. And until those differences can be set aside and an open dialogue with respect can be made for all, until we sit down at the table, the destiny path that humanity is on will surely end in destruction. Even those who don't believe in God can see with their own two eyes the things that are going on in the world. The lies being told on all sides, from all different views, from all different mainstream medias to alternative medias, doomsday apocalyptic scenarios of epic proportions. So it is up to you on your own personal spiritual journey or lack thereof to wade through the cesspool that we call life and try to come out the other side smelling like a rose. You may be the brightest individual on the planet. You may be the richest individual on the planet. But you're no better than any other individual. So when you mock the lesser, you mock yourself. And when you discount other people's beliefs, you discount yourself. So with that said, wisdom can go a long way. Wisdom can define the choices that you make. It's all up to you. And it's all up to us.
Choose my instruction instead of silver. And knowledge rather than fine gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare. When I look at the words, I gotta look at the small words on that too. Choose my instruction instead of silver. This is a set of values in a way. You get the instruction. Most people get something, they start putting it together. When it doesn't quite go together right, they look at the instructions. After following the instructions, now they have knowledge. They find out why it didn't work when they did it wrong. Now they have knowledge. And with that and it says knowledge rather than fine gold. Well, now you have knowledge. Maybe you can do this, make a living, whatever. But the thing is, with that knowledge, it's worth more than just the instruction because you've been through it. And then with that knowledge, the next line says for. F-O-R. Meaning because wisdom is more precious than rubies, nothing you desire can compare with her. And what I find from that is the wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge. It means you've experienced it. You've seen it go wrong. You say, after you follow the instructions finally and you put it all together, you say, yeah, I guess I should have done this first and done this first. And, oh, there's a better way to do this. You put four or five units together. Now it's just secondhand knowledge, you just kind of whip right through it. That's the wisdom. And in life, you find the same thing. The more you've sat there, you follow what what you've been told on by the wise people on how to do it. You follow their instructions.
Well, the power
or something. Then when you go through it and you followed it their way, then you have the knowledge.
The power.
If you didn't do it their way, you got the knowledge. But after that, then you have the wisdom.
The power.
And sometimes I look back and I get the wisdom from looking back at the stupid things I did, and it just finally dawns on me what I did wrong. That's later on. That's the wisdom.
The power and wisdom and words and communication is a prime example of the comment that I just read out down there. I may have misconstrued the comment in itself, but the comment was about angels and demons, and it had laugh out loud at the back. And to one person, that might just be, you know, a different thing than to what I initially saw. But to me, if you're adding a serious comment, the last thing you want to put is, you know, laughing out loud at the back of it, you know, because it could be taken either way. Do you understand how powerful words are? And that's why, to me, I'm afraid sometimes to even open my mouth, because I can say things and they just either are, because of the way that I phrased them, read a different way. I'm not the most well-versed person in the world. I do have a redneck accent because I live out in the sticks, man. And I'm not afraid to say, you know, I'm not the most well-spoken person in the world. But we gotta slow down. We gotta understand how powerful our communications really are. And like Thomas said, once we get the solutions in hand, they're just solutions on the shelf until we actually get up off the couch and we actually do something with it. You know, going out and feeding your neighbor or whatever. It all makes a difference. The power of the spoken word, the power of your actions, you know, all of those together. One of us by ourselves can't save the world. I mean, I carry around the weight of the world on my back because I feel my heart is so big. I don't want anybody to do without. And I want to do something to try to make the world a better place. All I can do is talk on this computer and do what I can in my general area, or try to mail something to somebody who needs something, or try to provide for those around, or whatever.
Now, every person you help, though, that's one more chance that person will be able to help something that's outside of your reach, too. You know?
Yeah.
It's
so never discount your efforts to help other people around you if you're actually doing something.
It's like that pay it forward thing, you know?
Exactly.
However you look at that, you send that positive ripple out there into the world.
I mean, we need to start a pandemic of, you know, going out and helping each other, you know? Everybody basically, you know, ends up infected with the, I got to go out and find one person to help. You know, that's your, you're now infected with the disease of I got to help somebody, and you're the only cure is to go out and actually help somebody. Even if it's just one person, you go out there and help one person, you get cured.
It's written, when you give to the poor, you lend to God. He pays you back 100-fold.
Well,
I've seen this tested and proved it.
In my,
I've fed the homeless, the hungry. I've housed the hungry. I've given jobs to, particularly the ones that don't have jobs. And you know what? When it came down, I didn't have much. I didn't have food. Food was brought to me when I couldn't find it. And I've never been without a house. Now, Spent the night sleeping out in a tent. It didn't rain. Then I got a porch, a screened-in porch, to crash on, acting as security for the place that I was working at. And that was a cool thing, because that night that I got on that porch, it rained. I've never been left out in the rain without shelter. And I've never been where I'm baking or freezing cold on my own. And I know, due to the circumstances and things I've been through, that I should have. And one guy I helped out, later on when I was really having a bunch of business problems and trying to stretch the bills and really didn't have nothing left to eat in the fridge, the man magically showed up after a long time, years of not seeing him, he just showed up with a van, backed up, heard you could use some food. He backed up with his van. We didn't have room to put it all. He came back next week. He came back the week after that. I'll tell you what, man, I had so much stuff was rotten, and I had to keep throwing stuff out. I said, ho, I only need 7 birthday cakes this time, bub. And, you know, all the meats and the veggies, yeah, I'm still stocked up from last week. I said, man, I love you, bro. And he'd tell me I'm his brother from another mother. Come on over here, give me a hug. You know, that's love in the time of need. It's the timing, or some people would call it the synchronicity. It's just awesome. It can't be anything else. It's because I gave. And I know it. Basically because I gave to him. I gave this man a house when he was... I gave him a place to stay when I had 2 beautiful white chicks living with me. And this black guy, he looking for some kind of work. He was almost crying. I said, well, give him a ride in my van. Bought him a little food. He says, you know, your engine's going to go bad before this year's out if you don't get some work done on the bottom of it. He says, you need to do your bottom end first. I said, I can't tear this apart. He says, where do you work? I said, I work at German Goldsmiths. So while I was working in there, he snuck up, took the oil pan off the bottom of my van, and rebuilt the bottom end. When I got out, here he was, sitting in the seat. And he says, start it up. See what you like in it. I rebuilt your bottom end. And I gave him $50, and he says, well, the parts were more than that. I had to borrow a few. So I gave him a little bit more. He showed me the receipts, and yeah, he was honest and right. But he saw that he needed to help his brother, because when I took him in after that, I brought him home, and like I said, I had 2 beautiful white chicks. This is the younger years. And I said, well, here it is, man. There's a place to sleep there and there. Or pick your spot. The girls sleep over here or whatever. And one of the girls said, oh no, I'm not spending a night in the house with this N-word. And his eyes popped. And I said, well, you know what? I got a sign on my door that says, smile if you got it. If you ain't, it's time to leave. And she says, well, I'm leaving. And the other girl looked at her and says, if you're leaving, I'm leaving. I don't want to leave. He says, well, I'm leaving. So they both walked out. And JR looked at me and says, are you nuts? I said, no. If they ain't happy, fine. This is my house, my rules. I said, now you got a bed to sleep in instead of a couch. And that dropped his jaw. He couldn't understand why I'd take a black man in and kick out 2 beautiful white chicks. Well, you know, if they ain't got the right attitude, you know, I'm sorry. It's not, you know, but this man remembered that. And because I did that...
It's not what's on the outside that counts.
Oh, yeah. And I knew he was a crackhead. I knew he was having a hard time. And I talked with him. You know what? The reason... He'd say, man, I used to be hung on crack. And when I saw this man, I talked to this man. He said, he got me off of crack. He gave me plenty of work. I let him do the top end of my engine. I'll tell you what, that van was awesome. So, I mean... And he did little things here and there, and then he got him a job, and he says, hey, I'm on my feet now, I got a place to stay, and I got a job. And he said, I love you, bro, and I never saw him since then. All the way up until the time when I didn't have nothing, he pulled up with a van. Over and abundant, more than I needed, in the time of need. And now, like I said, because I gave people homes, I had 5 people living with me at one time before, because I had such a big place, a Quonset hut with 7 extra rooms. Nice place. Only $380 a month. Not bad. And it was business. And that was the taxi cab stand. It was a long Quonset hut, right, pretty close to about 100 foot. And then I had a garage in the back, 76 foot wide by 36 foot deep, and had 10 foot ceilings. Plenty of room to own a tire or run a tire shop and the taxi mechanics and all that stuff. Everything I needed right there for $380 a month. Yeah, I'm sure I was provided for because of the things I did for people. I wouldn't have found it any other way. And I know because of the story on how I got it. One guy I tried to help, he was still going wrong, had it, and he said, I can't handle it, I want you to have it. Introduced me to the man, $380. And that was right about the time the city was bugging me to get a commercial place for my taxi cabs. It's like I said, the timing tells me that it's tested and proven. I've seen so many coincidences in my life that I know were not coincidences. It's just how you treat people, what you've done, what you do. When you give to the poor, you lend to God and He pays back 100-fold. It may not be in money. It may be in the valley. I mean, I'd have had to pay, oh, close to 850 downtown for a place like that, and I got it for 380 cash a month. Can't beat that. You really can't beat that. When you do for others, you're actually doing for yourself, as long as you're not looking for something out of it.
Yep, I agree. Did we lose Larry?
Yeah, Larry had to go. He had somebody at the door, and there was more business on his invention there. So he said, sorry, guys, got to go.
Well, Thomas, do you got any words of wisdom?
I've said everything that, like I said, I've got to say, you know. I'm letting everybody else just, you know, say what they got to say. What's going on in the chat room?
Oh, I misread a comment. I didn't scroll up far enough, and you know, I upset somebody, and for that I truly apologize. It's kind of hard to catch everything on the fly, but you know, under the context,
especially when you're running the show, sometimes you don't have time to read as much.
Under the context of what we're talking about today, I was trying to put out the reason. You know, the power in words. Words can, you know, if they're read out of context, or, you know, like I didn't see the first portion of the deal and I didn't scroll back far enough and I spoke out of turn, and essentially I made a mess of the thing. And that's how powerful words are, people. Words are really powerful, but you have to slow down, you have to look, and you have to observe the whole thing before you make your decision to open your mouth. You know, I'm just a man. I'm not infallible. You know, I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible, but that's kind of a spoof against the whole system, you know. I don't want to be king. I just want to be the best person I can to lead by example, to try to do right by the world. I know the urgency of what we got before us, and I want to try to bring people to the table. And if I'm running people away from the table because I misread something and then spoke wrong about it, and you know, see, this is why I'm in the state that I'm in right now, is that, you know, I want to bring everyone to the table, but how do we do this? How do we solve all the differences and all the issues? How do we put everything aside with the exception of the ultimate goal to keep the eye on the ball, you know, and keep everybody moving forward, putting positivity out there and getting out there.
I got one way to do that. Actions speak far louder than words, you know.
Well,
let's get busy acting, you know.
I don't want to
on what we say.
I don't want to sit down and toot my horn for my own actions. I just, you know, I do.
Oh, no. Yeah, you don't, that's just it though. You don't have to say anything when you do something. It'll keep speaking volumes on its own, and it doesn't make mistakes.
Believe
you know?
Me, when
you don't get a chance to basically take something an action out of context or an action out of you know.
Believe me, my
it being misread, you know.
My
good
heart,
reputation will follow you.
My heart speaks.
Reputation will precede you.
My heart speaks loud enough that even in my own personal life, when I'm out there walking my daily path or doing things in my daily life, I do with my actions the same thing I do here on the radio, you know. And in my own area here, you know I've helped out a lot of people, and I'm hoping that they helped out a lot of people, and so on and so forth. You know, I do practice what I preach. I'm not the picture of perfection by any means. I fall. I make mistakes. You know, in my book of faith it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. You know, and that means to me that there's not one perfect man amongst us, and anybody who tells you any difference is not being truthful to themselves or the world. And so, You know, I'm just trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to put my little positive ripple, my message out to the world in hopes that they will put their positive ripple and their positive message to the world. You know, it's the only way to get the house cleaned is for somebody to pick up a broom or a dustpan and, you know, a dust rag. That's the only way to get it done is for somebody to pick it up. And if it takes a motivational speaker such as King Shaziz the Terrible to reach out and put a positive message out there that maybe might get somebody motivated to give some homeless man a place to live or some food or shelter or whatever, I know that in the hearts of the majority, they're already doing this stuff. And for that, I don't say that they're not doing enough. I'm just saying that they need to share and spread that with everybody and tell them, look, hey, you know, go help your brothers and sisters out. Everybody, you know, shout the positivity down the line there. Keep that ball rolling. Keep the positivity flowing in all different directions. I literally believe that humanity is existence really rests in the hands of each and every one of us. If I start a fight with one person, I could essentially down the line start a war, you know? Muddy was talking about people taking sides. I said something offensive to this guy, and so all his friends jump in there, and now they're on the attack, and then my friends see me attacked, and they're on the attack, and the attacks never stop. It's just a perpetual hatred and war and stupidity, like the Hatfields and McCoy. After so long, those folks didn't even know what it was they were fighting over. They couldn't even remember what initiated the initial feud. Some had ideas, but nobody knew. And until we start to rule our life with wisdom and common sense and slow down and think before we speak, we'll do exactly like I did. I made somebody feel bad because my words didn't come out right. And that's, if anybody knows me, that's the last thing I want to do.
Well, the big thing, though, is that, you know, if you say nothing at all, you're guaranteed to cause, you know, a problem by not being any part of the solution, too. So, got to say something, you know. People can read whatever they want into it, too. That's just it. You have to realize that you can say everything perfectly and someone will find a way to see it as wrong. You know, they'll find a way to take offense at whatever you say. So,
well,
speak what you speak, but speak it positive.
My ultimate dream, my ultimate hope for all of humanity and a lot of eyes, and maybe even in my own eyes, may be the unachievable goal. But I see this as that if we don't at least give it the effort, like you said, Thomas, if we don't at least get out there and be doers as opposed to just talkers or speakers, then if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. If you do something, then at least something gets done. Am I wrong?
Well, if we talk about talking about it and getting it out there, basically we've said nothing, except that, you know, the good heart and all the good things. Your dreams. What did you see in your dreams? Let the people know. That'd be a good start, I'd say.
Well, brother,
I know you've had a lot of dreams, bro. What do you see? Enlighten them.
When I end up wherever it is that I go, I look around me and I can feel. I can feel. I can smell. It's as if I'm literally standing there. I can feel the wind blowing. I can feel the heat from the fires. I can smell death. I can hear the cries and the pain. I can feel every ounce of pain from every individual all around me. And the one particular one that stands the strongest in my mind was standing there in the middle of the street holding this baby, and this baby's crying, and I can't do anything to comfort this baby outside of hold this baby. And I'm looking around, I'm trying to find a mother or a father to reunite this baby with his mother or father. And there's just so much going on, so much hatred and darkness and evil and pain and death and destruction. It is just, if you could visualize being in a war-torn zone somewhere out there. I know you've seen a movie or you've seen a news broadcast or something where there's just, people have become so desensitized to other people's suffering that it's just mind-boggling. When you watch this thing on TV, 200 people just died on an airplane, you know, and you, oh, that's terrible, and then you go on about your day and you're not dwelling on it or letting yourself be affected by it. When I see things like that or hear things on there, my heart just sinks, man. 200 people, we just lost a huge chunk of humanity. Every time that a fruit is picked off of that tree and we lose another living soul, we lose another big part of humanity. And that's why I say humanity is literally dying before our very eyes. We are literally dying. From the day we're born, we begin a natural process of dying anyway. Nobody gets out of this world alive. Nobody gets out of this world with full pockets. Nobody takes their Ferrari or their house with them. You know, it's, to me, in my mind, it's common sense. In my mind, it should not even have to be spoken. It should be already in the hearts of all men, but it's not. There's some folks out there who are just, I don't know if they don't have a soul or if they're just pure evil or if they think there's no consequence at the end of the story, or for whatever reason that people do what it is that they do to one another. Why somebody could murder somebody. I saw a video online and I wished I had never watched it, but I watched four women. They took their shirts off and they had them on their knees in front of them, and they were hitting them with butts of guns and stuff, and they were making them confess to something. And then at the end of this video, these guys literally came around and beheaded these women on there. And I know green screen and blue screen, and I know how videos can be manipulated, but this, I'm telling you, was not fake. It was the real deal. And for me to sit there, and I'm like, oh my God, and my heart just freaking shattered into a million pieces, and I'm thinking, how could anyone do this to another human being, and how could anyone stand around while somebody else was doing this to another human being? Had I have been in that crowd and I had a gun in my hand, I would have made the ultimate choice. I would have started shooting the people who were trying to chop the heads off of these women. And should I be afraid of that? That my body and my mind actually has the capability to take another life? And does that bring me down to the level of the murderer? Or does that put me on the scales of justice? And then again, who am I to judge? But what I saw before my very eyes wasn't human. If there are demons in the world, which I believe they are, that these folks were infested with demons. They were infested with evil to do this to somebody. To degrade the women the way that they did them and put themselves above them and to have the mindset or the lack of heart or love to actually commit such an atrocity and then videotape it to show the world how tough they are and that they should be feared. It's sickened me.
I've seen a bit of those videos before too.
It's sickened me to my very core, Muddy. It's sickened me.
Yeah, I've seen where they buried a woman halfway up from her waist down, buried her down, and they videotaped it as the people of town just stoned the woman to death, hit her in the head, she bent over backwards, flopped up for it, she kept getting hit, she couldn't bend back for it, she was out cold, but she just kind of flopping around there, and then they just basically hit her till the blood spilled,
cracked your skull enough times to break it, and I'll say, my goodness, why would somebody want to videotape this? And then there was an emperor or king or whatever they want to call it, and because I'm not going to classify it down to where somebody can pick what religion and everything, but the leader of his country decided he didn't want his wife, so he convicted her of treason. And the death for treason was death of 1,000 cuts, and they showed just with a razor blade, cut, 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 until each little stinging cut, cut the eyes, cut the ears off, cut this, just start carving pieces of flesh off. That's really shouldn't have been on YouTube, but some people, I guess the need to know or to actually see it is one thing, but it was, I didn't want to listen to it, and I'll tell you what, it was, every time a video would end, it'd be another one of such deep cruelty. I put a bunch of them on watch later and never went back and watched them. It was just not, I said, oh man, and that's about the time I left the radio for a while because I was getting to where I was ranting a lot. Oh my goodness. It's pretty atrocious. Look, if you want a divorce from your wife, don't accuse her of treason and have her to the death of 1,000 cuts. That's a cruel way to die. Stoning somebody because you think she might have, committed adultery. That's a little deep. That's a little bit too much.
I can't put my mind around it. I can't get a grip on how anyone could do that to anyone, man. And all I'm saying to the world is I'm not trying to fearmonger anybody. I'm just trying to send a ripple out there. I'm trying to start a movement to where people will get out there and be proactive and start trying to steer this boat that we're on in a different direction. Maybe I already died and went to hell. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is hell. I don't know. I won't know until it's all said and done, until the truth is showed for everybody, and everybody knows who was right and who was wrong. All I can say is, in the meantime, in the here and now, if we see these problems in the world, and we know they need to be addressed, why is there still people starving? Why is there still people suffering? Why has humanity not reached a higher state of enlightenment to where they understand that what they're doing is killing us all? No matter what, whether it's the global warming side of it, or the chemtrailing side of it, or the wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and all the things predicted in revelations of the Bible, no matter how you look at it, come on, you, the individual, have so much power, and you, the individual, needs to get up and use that power for whichever side you're on, I guess. If you're going to do evil, I guess you got to go for broke. But if you're going to do good and you want to make this world a better place, you got to do the same, because there is definitely a battle on for your mind. There's a battle on for your soul, your thoughts, your dreams. There is a information war of epic proportions going on. Who's to know what's real or what's not real in this world, because it's so messed up, so chaotic. Go out there on the internet. It's nuts. The internet could be used as such an awesome tool, a great resource for researching and developing and bringing ideas and solutions to the table. And yet some folks use it for going out and trolling or cussing or raising a ruckus and doing all this evil. How else can you say it? It's evil. It's evil to harm another person. What do I do? What do I say? How do I bring everyone to the table? I don't have those answers. Oh, I just wish that I could stop the world, freeze it in its place like the day the world stood still, that movie from way back, the black and white movie. I wish I could stop the world and leave it stopped long enough to go take every single weapon out of everyone's hand and put a flower in their hand or something, instead of unclenching their fist and putting their hand in a handshake to a brother or sister around the world, if I could go around and individually put a sticky note on each one of their heads saying peace and love, and can't we all just freaking get along for Pete's sake? You know, it would be too easy for me to up and walk away and not do radio shows and not say or do anything positive just to hide in my own little bubble in the world if it wasn't for my doggone heart. If I could rip my heart out and throw it away, I would never even have to open my mouth. I wouldn't have no worries in the world. But my heart plays on me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. My heart tells me that this world needs something positive. This world needs love. It needs hope. It needs, whether it's coming from the New Age religion or the Old Age religion or just mankind itself or nature or whatever. Blessed be the peacemakers from anywhere, is what I'm trying to say. Oh, I got to take a breath.
I think it's close to time for break. What do you think?
Well, we got Steve here. How's it going, brother?
I just wanted to give you a little bit of hope.
I love all the hope I can get, man.
Back in 1997, I went to a small little village in Germany called Bohrendorf. It was what they called a Pinksterdag. It was like a big summer festival, and we went to the house in the middle of nowhere and drank beer and listened to a band and all the rest of it. But the whole village had a parade, and it was for the duck hunting season. Now, times do change and people's mentalities do change. And anybody that has ever seen any movies on World War II would probably see a very negative version of Germany. But every single man in this duck hunt parade, there's a flower in the end of his hunting rifle to show it was for peaceful purposes, not for war. Now, to come from what they were to what they, from what they used to be to that, shows a significant change in outlook and positive thinking. So things can change. Nothing stays the same forever. And I think that's a good message of hope for everybody.
What if hypothetically I was a time traveler and I came from the future and I came all the way back here to deliver a message to the world, and I was to say, you know, this is what you got ahead of you, but this is the path you could go on, and you could avert this entire thing. What if that was the case? Or, you know, and I came back, and would anybody heed the warning? Would anybody listen? Would they steer the boat in the other direction? Or is mankind to the point where they just don't care, and it's, you know, Katie bar the door, whatever happens, happens, no matter at whose cost or whose expense or whose pain? You know, the story that you just told, the story that you told about the hope, that is what I'm reaching out for. If a village or a tribe like that can come to that level of enlightenment, even if it isn't completely where they need to be, it's a step forward, and all the step forwards are worth more than 100 steps back. We got to get going forward. We got to bring our knowledge, our enlightenment, our technology up to where it should be, and we got to stop allowing elitists of the world and corrupt governments and organizations bring us down. We got to uplift the human spirit to its full potential. We got to take our people, all of our people, black, white, any color, any religion, and we got to pull our people out of bondage and bring them into the light. Because if we don't, man, if we don't, you've seen the past, and somebody once said that if you ignore the past, it's bound to repeat itself. And it does.
Can I make a suggestion? If you do develop time travel in the future, when you come back, can you bring the lotto numbers with you?
That's a good idea, brother.
Hey, old Fonda, one of our research for as much or as long as we'd ever want to do it.
You know, I'm sorry that people had to listen to me rant and cry and I'm sorry you even have to hear that. You know, I'm so passionate about what I believe. If it's only a dream, then it's just a dream. But if it's a vision of things to come, then we need to heed that warning, because if it's anything like what I stood in the midst of, I was all over this globe through this entire dream. I was all over the place. I was standing in places where once were cities, and now it was bare, desolate land where water wasn't even drinkable.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm not his family. He isn't afraid of wearing his art on his sleeve.
Well, I think
it's the corrupt types that want to hide everything.
I think my heart is my outer shell.
I think. You get what I mean, though.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Your heart is very fertile ground, bro. Very fertile.
Well, brother, I've been down the road and I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see, and I'm hoping to avoid having anybody else have to go down that path. I'm trying desperately with all that I have, because I believe so wholeheartedly in my faith. I believe so wholeheartedly in the message that, you know, we're not going to stop wars until we all come to the table and we figure out a way to leave the baggage off to the side and bring what is most important, the survival of humanity, to the table. You know? It's
part of it boils down to what you want to quit, what you want to see stop, what you finally get enough gumption to take care of. It's how much you can stomach. Let's put it this way. If you want to quit cigarettes, you can quit cigarettes, you'll go right back to them. Or you can try, but you're not even going to try until you're sick of them. Until something happens enough to wake you up, enough to tell you, you know, I want to quit. I really want to quit.
Well, brother,
I even devised a system. I'd start off with a carton of cigarettes. First day I'd smoke a whole pack. The next day I'd take one cigarette out and I'd put it in this baggie. And that's all the cigarettes I could smoke. And it worked out to where you had one cigarette at the end of the day. I actually quit that way, and it was pretty easy. But I still wanted them.
Right.
And you know what? I went back to them.
Right now,
I didn't get that far without wanting to, for a reason, you know.
Right now, what we got is a timing issue. I believe this is the last chance for humanity. Whether or not there's been many civilizations before us, many civilizations on other worlds around us, I believe that the time is ticking and we are at our last opportunity to turn around and do something to bring this world into a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of being, a higher state of enlightenment, a higher state of common sense, a higher state of love, or whatever. But if we don't get this right this time, I feel like this is the last go for humanity. This is it. This is like, you know, Dad says, you got one more chance. You do it, and you do it right, or else I'm taking it all down. You know, that's just my own personal view of everything that I've put together from all the information flooding my brain all this time.
Yeah. They're dumbing us down through the chemicals, through our food, through this or that, malnourishing, tearing up our water, taking our economy, taking our, you know, it's when people finally get enough of it that they'll do something about it. We just hope and pray that it's not too late.
Well, you guys have been my strength. And when I know I got friends like you and Steve and Thomas out there, and that I can sit down and have a conversation with them, you guys get me through the day. Because otherwise, if I sit around trapped in my own mind with my own thoughts and just letting everything flow, I have to relive this over and over and over again, unless I'm talking to somebody else about some other subject, whether it be science related or whatever. I'm watching the world unfold before my eyes at such an alarming rate. It's mind-boggling. I'm literally, my brain is going from where I'm sitting or standing all the way up through the entire future of mankind, and I'm watching it play out before my very eyes. over and over and over again, every single day without fail. I see the same pictures, the same thing throughout the entire deal, and it always comes to the same end of the line, and I'm hoping that I say something to this world that starts to steer it so that the next time I have this dream or vision that there is something changed in it for the better. There's something in that situation. And I at one point, actually saw a difference being made when we pulled all these networks together and we were actually on that other side of the road just for a second. For a brief second, we were over there. All of us was over there. We were heading down the right path. And then things came into the mix that got us feuding amongst each other behind the scenes and so forth and so on. And it brought us back over to the other path and we were heading down the road again to sure destruction.
True.
Yeah.
You ask a veteran of World War II unnecessary. In his darkest days, did he think there was ever going to be a future or would the whole world be destroyed? You'd probably say yes, it would, but it didn't. The Assyrian Empire, the Roman Empire, all these big, the Mongolian Empire. If you went to the people that were on the receiving end of that, they probably would have thought that there was no future whatsoever. But every time they take a tight grip, the harder they grip, it's like trying to squeeze jelly, it just flips between your fingers.
When I say,
and every time things get bad, they might not get away with everything that they want to do. And that's the point of hope.
They're
not perfect.
When I say the destruction of the world as we know it, I'm not talking about like Planet X coming in and blowing up the planet. I'm talking about what may or may not have happened to all the... We know that in portions of our history with the Romans and different countries and empires, how they've fallen, and we know that this has been repetitive. What I'm talking about is humanity as a whole. If you look at the deterioration of just morality alone, you know, with the way that people will say things now that were normally deemed to be offensive in the old days, or the way that the movies project murder and rape and looting and pillaging and being a bad guy and all this kind of stuff, even in the videos, in the books, in the schools, it's just like we're going down the toilet, man. And I'm trying to put the net out there and grab as many people as I can before they go down.
Morality is subjective to the structure of society you live in. Sorry, I'm laughing at the road sign that Thomas sent there. It's very good point. But it is.
It's true, we found it, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there a few times myself recently, and I've come through it, because people have not abandoned me in my darkest days. And I've had some pretty dark days the last couple of years. It gets better, mate.
Well,
be the person you want to be. Don't be the person that people expect you to be.
I agree, brother. I'm just saying, I'm telling you about something that I see in my mind, whether it be in the mind of a madman or whether it be a vision or whatever or just a dream.
I don't think it's an unjustified vision, mate. I think we're very close to some very detrimental circumstances happening because a bunch of rich people can't get on with each other.
Well, it's time for the peasants to stand up. It's time for the peasants to take control of this world. It's time for we the people to unite together of all backgrounds. It's time for us to stand up and to take these individuals, these so-called representatives, out of office and ensure that nobody is in there long-term. Nobody stays in there as a senator or a congressman or a representative for 30 or 40 years and is able to manipulate media and finances and all this kind of stuff. It's time for we the people to say enough is enough. It's kind of like that guy on that video clip where he tells everybody to go to the window and shout, "I'm not going to take it anymore." It's time. It is. It's a past time. We have got to stand up. We have got to take this world back, because the folks that are driving the ship are driving us off a freaking cliff. They are killing us. Literally killing us. And we're killing each other. We're killing each other with words. We're killing each other with pain and despair. And it's these little messages of hope that come on there that keep even me going. You know, if it wasn't for you guys, I'd go insane if I'm not already there.
No perfect people allowed, bro. No perfect people allowed.
I'm kind of like this, you know. If Jesus is coming back, I hope he gets here quickly, because I'm going nuts.
Yeah, he gets back and finds out what we did with his garden that he left us in trust of.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when Dad comes home, the house better be in order. You know, whoever you think Dad is, or Mom, the house needs to be in order. And we're out of order. All of us are out of order. We've got to get up off the couches. We got to turn off these trashy shows on there, the Dancing with the Stars and Who Wants to Be a Zit-Faced Millionaire, liquored up, driving his Lamborghini into the wall or whatever. We got to get off the doggone soap operas, the elevating somebody up to idol status, and we got to start thinking of ourselves as more powerful.
I'm actually in full favor of large, incredibly wealthy people getting drunk and eating their water as fast as speed as they can possibly maintain, so then we'll end up with considerably less of them.
Well, if I had the power to bring down lightning, which in some sense I do with a Tesla coil, but I'd need some powerful stuff going. But if I had the power to bring down lightning, I would go around and zap every doggone TV network, mainstream media off the planet. You know, I would just, you're gone. Every government broadcasting system, gone. Because
so what you're saying is, order in the world.
Yeah.
Order in the world.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, you're in contempt of humanity.
Exactly.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. If I was the king of the world, I tell you what I'd do. I throw away the bars and the cars and the wars and make sweet love.
Well, you know what? As long as people are making love, they're not making war. And, hey, make all the love you want.
You haven't been to Amsterdam, mate.
Why, are they making love and war?
Well, there's quite a few high-court judges in rubber underpants having their living snot beat out of them with a girl in leather with a whip.
Oh, man.
Not sure if that's love or war, but I think it's a mixture of both.
Well, you know, to each his own sick personal plans, I have no need to even have knowledge of any of those events. But if that's what they got to do...
You can't ignore what goes on the world because it doesn't fit in with your personal criteria.
I know, and that's the problem. I can't ignore.
We have to embrace everything everywhere to understand it.
Brother...
Because that's empathy.
I don't...
What I've been saying, try the technology, man. Manufacturing, refining, and energy, all in the house.
With you, brother.
No longer dependent on these the big wigs and the media hounds and whatever else, the political whores of the world. They can no longer affect you, because everything that you need, everything that you want, is within just a mouse click.
That's right.
Just
grow
within,
your gardens.
Then going out with a trash bag and loading up the the clippings off your lawn and going out and grabbing some soil or some old rusty nuts and bolts and whatnot and tossing it in the unit, and you get what you need out.
Go out and grow your gardens. Talk to the Amish people how they preserve it. Go over to talk to the Indians and ask them about herbal remedies. Talk to all the different cultures of the world, and there's something to learn from every single culture. There's something, there's knowledge out there of epic proportions. If you're willing enough to stand there and talk to somebody that may be different than you and your views and say, brother, I know this, that you guys, you don't have to use electricity to keep your food cool. How do you do that? Would you be willing to share that with me? And I could share some of my ideas with you that maybe benefit you as well. You know, this is it. The communications, the coming to the table is what I've been talking about and trying to get going all along. Have I messed
Here's
things
a cool
up?
One.
Yeah, I've done it.
Here's a cool one. Boomer, he got a hold of Ass Plunge, and the other people that, you know, carved the trees off the side of the road, you know, so they don't overhang the highway and stuff like that, and keep it away from the power lines and telephone lines. So they get paid to do that, and they kind of make a tour around the nation and around all the towns and everything about once every 2 years or so. Or they do half a town. Next year they do the other half of the town. And they get all this wood, and do they cut it into firewood? No. What they do is they take it into this chipper, and it chips it all up and loads it into this trailer so it'll be at its smallest volume possible as far as volume of how much bulk it takes. And then they have to go pay to dump it. So Boomer found out if you just tell these people, look, how far is the dump? Does it cost you? How much? If you can go this little extra distance, or if I'm shorter, I've got plenty of room. I want you to dump it here. So he was getting into doing the thermal thing, but that's all right. In his shop, he heats his shop with a wood stove. So he found out if he could just have these piles and take a wheelbarrow over there, and just shovel it up, fill a wheelbarrow, bring it to the shop, shovel some in there. Throw one after it gets going with a little bit of kindling. You get that going, you throw a log on.
That's exactly, what I'm talking about. You
just keep shoveling another shovel in.
Take that and stack on the other, on the smokestack, and all that carbon that's coming out of his smokestack, hook it up to the printer that I'm talking about building, and you can then print out solid objects off of the carbon dioxide that's coming off of it too,
and
get double use out of it.
That's a good step forward.
And the best thing about it is it's free. There's resources out there that are free, like both Thomas and Muddy are saying, they're free. They don't cost you nothing. They'll give this stuff to you because they got to pay to get rid of it anyway.
Yeah, take a black garden hose, run it in a complete loop all the way back to your house and the radiator. Put a fan behind it, then pile that doggone compost and grass clippings and the wood chips all on top of it. You'll get 160 degrees for over 6 months. If it starts to die up, you throw in some. You go down to Starbucks, grab you a couple full 55-gallon bags of coffee grounds and take that, add it to the compost, stir it all up, and it gets hotter than it was before and goes on for another 3 months. And if you incorporate your regular water through it as well, you don't need a hot water heater. You'll have hot water 160 degrees plus to where you have to add cold water to it just to keep it cool, and you'll never run out of hot water. You can take one shower after another and heat your house at the same time. It just doesn't stop.
And you can use the excess heat to pump water?
Oh, put you a solar panel out there to run it in the daytime on night, run it on a little battery if you need it. But, yeah, you can heat your house and all your hot water.
I think what he's getting at is basically using the heat to run a pump.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you can make a Stirling engine that'll work nice.
With gasification, but...
Yep.
Guys, for a number of years in Ireland, I didn't grow anything at all whatsoever, and I used to buy everything from the supermarket. And then they decided to put RFID tags on bins. They didn't ask me, they told me. They actually sent it to me, so I put it in the microwave and put it in an envelope, sent it back to them, said, no, I don't want it. I'm cancelling the refuse collection contract. And they said, you can't do that. I said, well, I can. Because it's a private contract, it's got nothing to do with anybody bar me and you, and I don't need it anymore. And when I started growing my own food, I didn't have any plastic wrappers, I didn't have any styrofoam boxes, I didn't have any cardboard. And my actual rubbish went from one bin every 2 days to one bin every month. And I used to take that back to the supermarket when I went to buy things that I couldn't grow myself and give them the extra packaging back again. Most people don't realise that in the Republic of Ireland specifically, the supermarkets have to take the return of excess packaging you can't eat.
Well,
it wasn't about the money, it was about the fact of, you know, you're not putting this packaging around all sorts of items for my benefit. You're doing it for your own distribution and logistics purpose. I'm just as happy to have it in a paper bag, which I can burn in my fireplace and use it to start my wood fire.
Now, who needs an RFID chip in your food?
Well, yeah.
It's come to find out that one out of three people have an RFID chip in them and don't even know it.
Could have got it at a dentist,
all over the place, could have got it at school. One in three people have an RFID chip with. And if you want to find out, you can go to the doctor and he'll scan you. Then you can have to figure out where you got it from.
But if he can scan it, there's going to be some sort of code.
Oh, so be careful who you go to get it scanned at. He might not want to scan it because he doesn't want to admit he was the one that gave it to you.
Yeah. To this, I'd say to you, don't give up hope, because every time they come up with a new idea, it usually doesn't work very well. And they'll push it and they'll push it and they'll push it, and enough people will eventually turn around and say, well, I'm not going to support something that I don't believe in, and I don't believe that this is my benefit. It takes time and you have to be patient, but you shouldn't give up.
I'm not giving up, brother. There's too much on the line to give up.
That's my point. And don't let it get you down either. Because every time they come up with some ridiculous idea, there's some clever brainy little sod that comes up with a way to protect yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time they come up with a better safe, somebody comes up with a better safe cracker.
Yeah.
Every time somebody makes something foolproof, the universe makes a better fool. So...
ask Apple how secure their cloud is.
Yep.
Ask Sony PlayStation how secure their servers are.
Cloud
security.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing that's bulletproof.
Facebook, Apple Plus, YouTube scares me.
I mean, there's so much pressure. And as bad as it gets, don't forget that all of these people that runs the world, they have to live in too. This threat of global thermonuclear war is a threat.
Well, brother,
it's fit.
What I'm seeing in my visions, it makes nuclear war seem like 4th of July. It's beyond all reason and all imagination. And I hope and pray that it's just a dream. I hope and pray that it's just the mind of a madman and it doesn't ever come to pass, because I wouldn't want to see it.
Or maybe it's just your mind trying to basically deal with that horrific thing that you were talking about you saw earlier, where those four women were being beheaded.
Well,
I mean, it's hard to comprehend how somebody can even be like that if you're not already like that.
Thank God
there aren't very many people that are like that, you know?
These dreams have been coming around for a lifetime. I've seen these things all my life. I found a man in a cave 17 years later to the date that he come up missing. They found his car not more than a mile from where I was raised, underneath the same bridge that I used to freak out every time we'd cross over it. That's where they found this man's car. I found his body in a cave underneath the bus right where I parked. You can actually look it up. It's out there on the internet somewhere. And you can watch the video reenactment of it. But either way, this has been a lifetime thing, man. And I never could get a grip on where it was all going or where it was all coming from until I got older and wiser, and I understood that I needed to pay attention to that little voice in the background that says, hey, you might want to not go this direction today. You might want to go the opposite way. wherever that's come from, it has saved my butt a few times. All I'm saying is that take all that stuff aside, shuffle it off out the door, and just look at the world in general. Common sense dictates on the path that we're on. It ain't good. It ain't good where we're going. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand perfectly, mate. I've thought a hell of a lot about that. It made me incredibly unhappy.
I've seen some of the accidents I should have been in if I didn't have a problem just beforehand.
Well, maybe...
For some reason the car wouldn't start. You crank on it, it won't start, it won't start. You wait a second and you turn the key and it starts up like nothing ever happened. It wouldn't still... in less time than it would have took for it to unflood itself. Just start up perfect. Then you go down the road and you see what would have caused it and what happened.
Maybe it was divine intervention, or maybe it was yourself and the power that is within you to actually look ahead into time. I believe everybody has the capability to see ahead of time. You know, some people... They can look at things and they can say, you know, well, that doesn't look like such a good idea, and they'll listen to their self and they'll avoid tragedy, and some people just go headlong into it, and, you know, those are the victims that you end up hearing about on the news. The bungee jumper that used a log chain instead of an elastic cord or something, you know?
I had a dream about a friend of mine, Dennis Gleaton, and... what the heck was his name? Bobby something. Well, Bobby had a bike, and it was Dennis Gleason's bike. They went hauling down Arkansas Road in Sweetwater without helmets, hauling, and they were drunk. They came up to the curve in the road, and the stop sign couldn't stop, went across, skipped the ditch, went up the side of the that cement part, you know, where they raised the overpass and everything, went up that, also hit one of the columns. Both of them died. Dennis Gleaton hit that column straight on, and his brains went all the way up that thing. And Bobby, his helmet flew off, and his head was still in it. But I saw that before it happened and warned them and told them. They were laughing. They thought I was just being mama and telling them what not to do.
Well, let me tell you a quick story. Since we're running down to the wire, let me tell you a quick story. There used to be some kids, and for some reason we got on this conversation about the future, and they asked me how I was able to tell them certain things before they ever even happened. And they asked me... Three of them came together and they asked me, well, what do you see in our future? And after those words passed over the lips, the very first thing that came out of my mouth, and I just said it to them, I said, whatever you do, stay out of the boat, and if you do get into the boat, make sure that you have life jackets on. Sure as heck, less than a year later, they were down on the river when the river was swollen. None of them had life jackets on. The boat tipped over, and two of them made it to the shore, and one of them wasn't found for several days. And I was a part of that party down there searching for... I was down there with the boy's uncle trying to find this boy. And I told them, you know, if you ever get in a boat... You know, stay out of the boat. If you do get in a boat, wear the life jacket. And there it was, you know, it happened just like I said, but whether, you know, they just passed it off as all, you know, whatever and then forgot about it, or whether it was in the back of their mind or however it played out, but for some reason it played out just as I saw it in my head. And, you know, that's why I struggle with what I'm saying to everybody out here, because I don't know who will listen and who won't listen. You know? Is it my duty to save the world? Maybe. Maybe it's all of our duties to save the world. Maybe it's all of our duties to take care of one another. Maybe it is our responsibility for when we open our mouths to put something into this world that's not going to be destructive to this world. You know, if at the very least for yourself, so that you don't make a mess out of the world that you have to live in. You said it just a while ago. You said the elite, they're making a mess out of the world. They got to live in the world too. Difference between them and us is the average Joe can't afford the multi-million dollar bunker. The average Joe can't sit on a big old pile of gold so that when everything falls apart that they still have the power. They still have the structure in place. We need to take that power and that structure out from underneath them to begin with. We should have never elevated these individuals to idol status, which we did by putting them as our representatives. And even if they got in there illegally, we should have all come together and got them out of there legally. You see what I'm saying? The power...
It comes down to the point that you should not support something you got for it.
Exactly.
And you shouldn't take somebody else's word for it.
I always tell people, don't...
What's the point of having your vote if somebody else tells you what to do with it?
Yeah, and what's the purpose of you having a vote if the system is going to manipulate it? And knowing that the system is manipulating your vote, you should stand up against that. You should respectfully go around and get your brothers and sisters around your own personal neighborhood and your own counties and cities and states and countries to stand up against it. Say, look, this is the fact. I know you voted for the other guy and you want this other guy to be in here, but what if the shoe was on this other foot and you didn't have the option of a true vote? You would want to make sure that your justice was served. So we need to stand together against this, because otherwise, when you need your vote the most, it's not going to count. You see what I'm saying?
Well, here's an idea for you, mate. Back when Obama was elected for second term, they were saying that in certain parts of America, the Black Panthers were standing outside the election booths.
And they were! Now,
the question is, were they there to intimidate the voters or the people that were known to try and manipulate it?
Probably a combination of both. I don't know, because I'm not a Black Panther.
Can you trust what's going on in the media?
No. I trust the mainstream media more than I could ever trust. I trust the alternative media more than I could ever trust the mainstream media. But then I have to even be skeptical of the alternative media, because once the mainstream media realized that they were losing their subscribers, they started moving into the alternative media and spreading propaganda that way. So you got to be really with a skeptical eye observing and paying attention to both sides of the story. My wife asked me, if you don't like the news, why do you watch the news? I said, because I have to know what these folks are lying about so that I can figure out what the real truth is by doing research from all these different directions.
Or put two and two together in your mind and ask for wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's many strange things in the world, but I think that probably the most valuable concept we can have is empathy. Because if everybody understands what everybody else is doing, it cuts out the fear.
And well,
if scientists ever actually work out exactly how the human brain works, then we've got a real problem.
The time for fear.
They know how it works. They can do whatever they want with it.
Yep. The time for fear is over. We don't have a time. We don't have time to be afraid. We don't have time to live in fear and paranoia. We have to live in wisdom, hope, peace, and love, and proactiveness. We have to get out there and we have to do something to make this world a better place. Otherwise, it's sinking. While we are sitting here, us little groups here and there throughout the entire internet and the world, while we're patching holes in the ship, we got other knuckleheads out there poking holes in this ship. And so we got more knuckleheads out there poking holes than we have patchers. We need more patchers out there patching the ship, because we're going down.
Let the ship sink, mate. We're not on it.
Well,
we're not on that ship.
We're on the ship. We're all on the same planet. My grandchildren are on the same planet. And when it goes to total chaos, if that dream comes to pass, my grandchildren will, that might be one of my grandchildren's babies that I'm holding in my hand in that vision or dream or whatever, that nightmare. By God, if it's anybody's on this planet from any race or religion, I don't want to have to see that happen to any of your family or any of your friends. The only way that we're going to steer this boat is if we all put our hands on the wheel, if we all come to the table together, we put our petty differences aside, we put our disagreements on everything, and we only focus on what needs to be fixed, and we put solutions out there in the hands, in the minds, and we plant the seeds to send this off in a better direction for the future of all humanity. I mean, we may never even live to see the fruits of our labors, but if I stand idly by and say or do nothing, then I'm responsible as the next guy for the future of all humanity.
Well, think of it this way. I mean, coming from my culinary background, they say too many cooks spoil the broth. But it's about time we held those cooks accountable for what they're making.
Yeah.
We don't need billions of people with their hands on the wheels. We need billions of people to say, actually, no, a right turn isn't appropriate in a dead end.
Well, we can have one wise man steering the ship. We have the pilot and the people guiding them. And saying, look, okay, this is things we need to look at, and we need to decide right now whether we're going left or right, and not wait too doggone long and hit the iceberg and go down like the Titanic. We have got to get our act together. Simple as that. What we have here is literally a failure to communicate.
We do
our
act together.
We do.
We're trying. Well, most of us are trying really hard to find new ways to do things, innovative ways to do things. And I think that's what mankind, the Knights of the Round Table, is all about: seeking solutions, not residual charges.
And Thomas said as well, which is the other half of the puzzle, is that, you know, after we got the solutions on the table, it's up to everyone to enact them solutions and get it done. Well, guys, we're down to the last 7 minutes of the show, so anybody got anything they want to say?
I know what you can do. I know what Muddy can do. And I've had a couple of chats recently with Thomas, and a lot of the stuff he's talking about is very interesting. So I know what he can do as well. Solutions out there.
I'm a firm believer.
It's up to everybody else to do something about it, because we can't do it for them.
Well, I'm a firm believer, just in our circle alone, that we can do something positive to solve the energy crisis of the world. If we work together and use our talents and skills together, we got the dream team. And if we keep that rolling and we keep focused on that, you know, sometimes you got to speak outside. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is for, to bring everything to the table and bring the solutions and offer that opportunity for everyone else to come to the table. Because if you believe in what we believe in, that the dream of making this world a better place, it starts with each and every individual out there. It's not just us. It's not just a dream team. It's you getting up and making your own dream team in your own neighborhood, your own community, and being proactive. Don't go out there and protest and throw blood on the walls and stuff. Go out there and lead by example and show people how to do it right. Anyway, you guys want to go around the table and do what it is we always do at the end of every Knights of the Round Table? Steve, you want to go first?
Just believe in what you believe. Don't believe in what other people tell you to believe. Take that simple theory or concept with you. You know, then you're responsible for what you do. You can't blame anybody else.
Yeah, and don't close your mind to other people's beliefs. At least hear them out. At least hear what they got to say, you know?
Don't forget about the frogs. You put a frog in a pot of water and you start turning the heat up. Before long, he doesn't know anything's happening because he can't feel the change. If he gets numb, then he'll stay in that pot and not kick. You try to throw that frog in the hot boiling water, he's going to come out of it real quick. I think that's what's going on. But when is the point of no return? That's what you got to ask yourself.
And that's what I'm afraid of the most, Monty.
How far is too far? There is no question about where the point of no return is. Okay, and it's a real simple statement. If you run like your life is being threatened by the most dangerous thing that could ever attack you or chase you or you know try to kill you, then nothing you see behind you will make you run any faster. You're already going as fast as you can. So if we want to get this solution and this thing situated and this thing saved and you know taken care of, we got to do it like basically tomorrow is the last day.
Yeah.
Work as fast and as hard as you can and don't stop until you get the solutions on the table and out to the public, you know.
I agree.
No more questions about how much time do we have left. Let's just keep thinking not enough. We need to you know get on it and get it done.
We need to do this like there is no tomorrow.
Well, there isn't.
Exactly.
Anyway, guys, we're down to the wire. Yeah.
My wife means that when we immigrate to Singapore, we should live every day as though it's our last day.
Yep.
Because then there's nothing more to fear.
That's words of wisdom.
I'll make this short and sweet. Stay tuned because, you know, there's more coming on my end. So
and how, brother?
When it's ready, I'll announce it here. Everybody will know.
We're all there with you. We are all there. We are what we call the Dream Team, and we're offering that the people come join us, and we're offering to come join the Knights of the Round Table. And we're down to the wire. We're going to run over our hair here and apologize to the next host in line. But, guys, thank you very much once again. You know, we come together for a just cause, and I believe the scales of justice are starting to tip back in the way of humanity. And as long as we keep the ball rolling, we got hope. And as long as I know that there's other people out there who believe in this dream as well as I do, I can maintain hope. We've got to do this thing. We've got to take care of this world, and it's going to take us being patient with one another and us recognizing that we are different, but we are the same, and we are all in the same boat. There's enough on this planet for everybody to go around, and if we use these resources wisely and if we take care of nature will take care of us. And I believe that's the way the Creator designed it for all of us. And so with that said, peace and love to everybody, and stay tuned for the next Knights of the Round Table and the next Mad Science. Listen in to the other shows, and if you believe what it is that all these networks have come together to do, keep the ball rolling. Tell your friends, bring people in there, and remember that whenever you speak words, use wisdom before you speak, because I myself make mistakes, and I make people feel bad because my words or I jumped a gun or whatever. I didn't get the whole picture. When you're communicating Amen. With somebody, try to communicate with wisdom. Anything else, guys?
No more war on any level at any time.
Alright, well,
share love. It'll grow.
With that
It'll come
said,
back to you.
Peace and love, and thanks Thomas and Steve and Larry and Muddy and Mitko and everybody else out there that keeps this dream alive. So take care. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Cut over there. I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers.
By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terror, and the knights of the round table.